Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, welcome. Pastor David here with Pastor Liz and Pastor Bob.
Howdy.
Hello.
And we pray that today's podcast will be effective, because today's podcast is about effective prayer.
Wow.
And so this is really going to, I hope, be more of a practical episode to just help us pray more and help us have more faith for prayer. So that's what I hope will happen.
Well, that'll work.
What actually happens, yeah, we don't know.
All right. Well, I think you guys should do this podcast there, and I will just sit in the corner here and pray.
Go for it. That would be effectual if you were to do that. Okay, then
yes,
we will have an intercessor for us. But this is really important, so we'll try to do a good job. Okay, so Liz, I'll start with you, since Pastor Bob wants to just hold up our arms in prayer to really spiritualize it. Okay, so my first question would be,
I see you praying.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those invisible, unspoken,
it's hidden,
it's unspoken prayer.
The prayer of my heart.
Yeah.
I'm praying that Pastor David
at least
doesn't
move your
ask
lips
any
or something.
Questions.
Okay. Oh man. All right. I'll start with Liz, just to be merciful unto you. All right. So, Liz, should we expect answers to our prayers when we pray? Are we expecting God to actually do something?
Yes. I'm always expecting an
good
answer.
Good.
Because I don't, and it may come in all different forms, but I don't think God is just like ignoring us. He's very attentive. He's very close. He's very present. He's very engaged. He's a God who speaks. He's a God who listens and responds. And so I think that whenever we're praying, we should expect an answer. And I would say this, we should listen for an answer.
Good.
Not just like rattle off all my things and be like, okay, God, now go do those. And like, I said it, so now you do it. Like, I think that's sometimes how we approach, we can approach prayer. But actually, and I think we'll talk about this, like what prayer is, right? And how it becomes effective is we're bringing things to the Lord, but then we are waiting for the response and for the training and for the change in us that needs to happen, all the things that God does when we come before him. So,
that's good.
But I believe we should always expect an answer.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. And that would come to your mindset and your faith when you're offering prayer. Cause then without faith, if you're just throwing it out there, like hopefully something sticks,
right?
That's not necessarily how Jesus taught about prayer.
Right. Like the wishing star.
Yeah. You know,
it's like
Jiminy Christmas is talking to us right now. You know, Pastor Bob, do you want to throw anything else out there on expectancy?
Oh, I'm going to throw so many things
ready?
Out
Are
there.
Are you ready?
I don't know. I see you're praying in this corner, meditating.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think when I pray, I definitely give God at least one option that I expect that he will take that option and nothing else. So, yes, I expect that. That's the way prayer is, right? We just tell God what to do.
Yeah. How to do it.
And how to do it and when to do it. And then we're good with him. Everything's great. But, yes, I expect God will answer. The biggest issue is God might answer yes, no, wait.
Yeah.
And there may be even a handful of other answers he might come up with, which are not quite the answers I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I have to deal with that. To be very honest with you, now I have to deal with that. And the hardest one, of course, is the wait. It's like, you know how you're trying to get somebody's attention? They're like, just wait a second. And you're like, but this is really important. Yeah, just I'm with you. I understand this is really important to you, but just wait. And
that's
what happens if that's his answer?
Well, that's what he says in the Bible a lot, right? Wait on the Lord. And if we understand how the Bible pictures prayer, you know, in Revelation and other places, as a council meeting in heaven, where you're actually like waiting on the council and you're participating in it. Jeremiah stood in the council of God as a prophet to intercede with God. If I was just to run into like the city council, like a toddler with my list, I want this, I want that. They might be very charitable to me, but they'd be like, that's not what we're talking about right now.
No, actually, the
we're not doing
would usher
right
you out of this.
They'd be like, we're talking about sanitation issues. We're not talking about this little thing that you brought in necessarily.
Right.
So like, are we willing to listen? Like you were saying, Liz, and wait, like to pray in an effectual way. I don't know. Do you guys agree with that at all? Or
yeah, I think that a lot of the times, and I'll just say in my life, I'm coming to God with things that are priorities to me. They like, these are really important. Mm-hmm. This is like my life focus, my life journey. I need answers. And he comes back with something that's like, okay, let's deal with your patience, you know, or what, like, what about this? And I'm like, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about right now. Like, why are you, I'm asking you about like, what's this plan? And what's that plan?
He's not a good listener.
Can you give me the, can you give me the strategies? You know, and he's like, let's deal with how you love people, you know? And I'm like, what? Like, but he is answering me.
Right.
Right. He is like, you have your priorities and I have mine. And let's, these are the things that are actually needful for you right now. Like, you're coming to me, you want to know how A, B, C, D, the steps of where you're going. And I'm more concerned with making you who you need to be to get there. Right. So it's like, he comes with this perspective that if you're not open and willing to engage with him, can seem like he's not answering you. He's not telling me, you know, what my calling is. He's not telling me what my ministry is supposed to be. He's not telling me who I'm supposed to marry, right? He's like these very concrete things, but he is answering you with actually the things that are really needful for you. And I think that sometimes we miss it because we're locked into a certain
thing. True that is. You know, I believe also that, like you said, sometimes we go to God with a question, and like Jesus did, he returns with a question for you, which is, you know,
it's like a therapist.
Yeah, it's brutal, right?
Is that what we're really talking about?
Yeah. Well, it's sometimes worse than that. Like you were saying, you could go to him and go, God, am I really a prophet? And he says, Bob, do you love my people? And you're like, right? It's those kind of things. And but if you are only open to receiving the answer to your specific question and not open to receiving his question. With his question might be, I need you to focus on this first, because his questions always do focus. There's actually an answer in his question, but you have to see it as that. And like I said, that's why sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. And then there's those other things. Sometimes it's the question. And those are like extremely critical in our life, because we are not open to someone. When I ask you a question, you know, like, what are we going to do tomorrow? And you go, I don't know, Bob, do you, will you still be loving God's people tomorrow? And like, nobody's ready for
that. I'm
going to do that from now on, right?
What are we talking about, our staff right tomorrow? Well, have you, are you ready to suffer?
Yes. Or, you know, you come to me with, you know, Bob, like, what about my future in this thing? And I go, Liz, are you loving your husband?
Right.
You know, and like, you're, it's such a like departure from where you're focused. And yet that's so much God.
Right.
And like, he did that all the time when he was on earth here in the person of Jesus Christ. And we forget that. We just like, let's ignore that part. That really didn't happen that way. Oh, wait. He only spoke to the Pharisees that way.
Right.
No. No. And so that's a reality of prayer. And I know we're going to talk more about maybe the intentions of prayer and how to enter into all those things. But we have to be open to like what the consequences of prayer could be. Or the answers, or the how it works out. And because if you're not, you're in for a lot of disappointments. You know, he won't measure up to your standard. He won't jump through your hoops. You know, you haven't tamed the Lion of Judah. You know, you just, you're dealing with all that. Go ahead, Pastor.
Oh, no, it seems like it's more like a conference than a hostage negotiation. You know, like you're not just making God do something, or, you know, telling him your list of demands. Like, you're actually conferencing with him and listening, and there's questions going back and forth, and it's a dynamic thing, you know? And so I think it's good just to kind of get that in our minds. And I guess I'll ask a question. I was going to ask it later, but how does the prophetic factor into this? Hearing from God, it seems like this is critical to praying effectively. Not just coming in with what we want to talk about, but letting him lead that. Like, how would you guys say that the prophetic mixes in with effective prayer? Like, because I know you guys are both prophets.
Yes.
So I'll let you speak to this.
Senior prophet.
Yeah.
Pastor Liz should uh-huh. be speaking about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I would say there's two kind of things happening there. There's the mantle prophet issue, which is
problem,
has its own its own things when it comes to intercession and prayer and being positioned before the Lord. Those are some interesting things. Generally, for us as people, we are designed to hear the Lord, and we are designed to commune with Him. And I think that is the most important thing to remember, whether it comes to prophetic or to prayer, is that the intention is actually communion. It is mm-hmm. not just to get a word or yeah. not just to get answers to prayer. It is mm-hmm. actually communion.
Yeah.
And I think if we keep that as the guidepost for our prayer life, our prophetic ministry, pastor, whatever it is, like the goal is communion.
Yeah.
And that requires a heart to understand. That requires a heart that wants to partner with and to come alongside and to bear up under. And so that just speaks so much into prayer and the prophetic, because you're hearing, you're taking God's heart on as your own. You're listening to Him, not just hearing what He's saying, but actually hearing with intention to bring your heart to it and to come into partnership with Him, and to change your position, your perspective to His. Mm. So, I mean, I feel like totally. We could even do like a whole podcast on that, because there's so much, I think, involved there. But yeah. Hearing the Lord has to be the one of the primary functions of our prayer time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything you want to supplement on
that? Well, certainly. I'd like to put the whole mantle prophet thing definitely to one side, because that's a whole nother beast that goes along with that and perspective. I think there'll be parts of that that come into this, obviously. But just the whole idea of prophetic, like you were saying, hearing from God, it's a conversation. And I believe many times people approach prayer as one-sided. We are either mm-hmm. giving God our laundry list, or we're telling Him what to do. It's even more, you know, we're commanding Him what to do. You know, we sometimes turn some interesting scriptures upside down. Command ye the works of my, you know, and it's like, great, there you go. That all works out for you all the time. But it doesn't like that mm-hmm. exactly. But the reality is that you have a, you're having a dialogue with God, and you need to be open when you're praying to His response. And I like what you said, not just to hear, you know how, I don't know if you guys don't experience this maybe too much, but I do, because everybody's younger than me, but younger people tend to go, I hear you. Mm-hmm. But they're hearing and listening or two ends of the spectrum, right? And I believe that we can get in that mode with God. It's a very immature position where we are telling God, I hear you, but we're not really listening to what He's actually saying or perceiving what He's actually saying. We're not discerning what He's saying because we're putting it under the light of what we want to hear, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So we take that answer and go, it means this. And He's like, I didn't mean that. That was good. Good way you shoehorn that into how you want it to be, but that's not what I have here. But if you had just been in dialogue with me, if it had been a back and forth, and if you were not so proud that you could actually ask, like, you know, God, I don't understand that. Matter of fact, I don't even like that. Mm-hmm. Now that's a whole different realm. Like, people don't want to talk to God yeah. that way, right? Because we're all too pious and religious, and we're like, oh, Father in heaven, thou knowest my need and everything that is. And, you know, and we go there.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, half the time you're really like, God, I don't understand you or why you're asking me to do this. And I don't agree with that. But I'm opening up my heart before you, and I'm bringing it before you. So when in those scriptures that we like to talk about, since it's on fervent, effectual prayer, let's not miss the fervent component, mm-hmm. which means there's some thing about you that you're bringing fervently into the presence of God. That's how you believe. It's your strong mm-hmm. core. It's like, God, right now, I believe, help my unbelief. I don't, I no, you're telling me this. I don't like that.
Right.
God wants that perspective. That's the book of Jeremiah. Reading through this right now where, you know, God will, he'll tap on Jeremiah for something and Jeremiah responds to it because it's a really negative judgment that God's bringing. Mm-hmm. But God invites that intercession to some level for some part of that book. Mm-hmm. He's inviting that intercession. And then at several points he goes, stop praying for these people. Right. And Jeremiah did not want to hear that.
Of course he didn't.
And so he's burning and he's crying and he's, you know, he's weeping fountains of waters out of his head, you know, according to chapter 9, verse 1 of Jeremiah. Right. But if God didn't want that, he would never call a person. He would never call a person into intercession or into dialogue. And God is oftentimes initiating these things like that we're going to pray for. Mm. Abraham's an example of that. God said, I'm not going to hide from Abraham that I'm about to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And he invited a conversation with Abraham.
Yes.
With David and judging him for the census. He invited David to pick his punishment.
Pick your poison.
This is in, you know, the end of 2 Samuel. And, you know, David actually chooses 3 days punishment, but he ends up with one because he interceded even more. So it's like this relationship that God's wanting our fervency. He's wanting to get the human perspective, not that he can't just read it out of us, but he's inviting us into a relationship with him. So that, I mean, that kind of goes to my next question is, are we saying that God will actually listen to our prayers and that our prayers will actually make a real difference? Could God actually change his mind based on our prayer?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Positively.
That's a radical statement to some people.
No. Well, I'm sure there are people listening right now to this and they'll be like, no. All those three people have it wrong and they're in deception. Mm-hmm. But there's so many occasions in the Bible where exactly that happens.
There's over 40 occasions.
Oh, you've studied this.
Uh-huh.
Perfect. Yeah. Give us all 40 right now. I can't sit here and listen. I'm going to take notes because that sounds like...
Let's start with him changing his mind about the whole world and flooding it.
Oh, yeah.
Genesis chapter 6.
There's a good detail.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or I think of, you know, a king that's scheduled to die by God's rule and, you know...
He tells him he's going to die.
And a major prophet. Not the minor guy, a major prophet. Yeah, major prophet. You know, tells him, hey, you're dead, man. And then, you know, walks out and has to turn that around. I often wonder about that poor prophet. Like, go back. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that thing.
Well, your reference, but that's how they understood it, right? That's how they understood what they're doing is that God's responsive to how we receive the prophetic word.
Yes.
And so that's how they always understood the prophetic. So he's giving the example of Hezekiah, right? So Hezekiah gets sick. This is in the Bible 3 times. This account.
It must be right.
Right. In Hebrew, when you repeat something, it is emphasis. Mm-hmm. When you repeat something, it's emphasis, right? And so he repeats it 3 times about how Hezekiah gets this death sentence and he doesn't accept it. And he prays, he turns his face to the wall and God says, okay, I saw your tears. I heard your prayer and I'll add 15 years. Like, what does that do to your theology?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Messes you up.
Right. That's the Bible. Right. That's not a system.
Yeah. Or how about the Lord saying, I'm sending judgment. Is there anyone that's going to plead with me?
I'm looking.
Not to. I'm looking. Yeah. I'm searching for someone. Is anyone going to stand here?
Is anyone going to stand up for
because
this?
Because he wanted to relent. He wanted to change the course of his action. He didn't want that. He wanted to extend mercy and he's looking for someone in the earth to stand in the gap and he couldn't find anyone. Like, that is one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible that I have to send because of my justice. I have to send judgment, but I want to send mercy and all I need is for someone to ask me.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's all I need. Like, I think that is, it's sad in that instance, but it's so amazing and miraculous that the Lord has designed us to stand in that place with him where he's like, look, I have thoughts and I have plans and I have ideas and there are things that my justice requires, my law requires, and this is how it's set up. But is there anyone that's going to come and plead with me for things to be different? Is there anyone that's going to come and bring their heart and bring their fervency and bring that before me and commune with me in that place and we can work something else out? Like, he's so willing to do that. And he's designated us, like, for whatever reason seems good to him. That seems crazy to me. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing that he's called us into that place. And I think this is part of the reason people struggle with prayer, because they're like, well, God's going to do what he's going to do anyway.
That's huge.
Why do I need to pray? Like, he already knows everything. He already knows everything that's going to happen. And he doesn't, you know, so me praying, I don't need to do that. It's not going to make a difference. And that's just not, it's just not the case.
Well, I think also in fairness to everybody listening here, who we've lost already because of this doctrine, is that there are things you are not going to change God's mind about.
Of course not.
Right? There's things that are settled.
And Jeremiah couldn't do it, right?
Right. It's going to happen. You know, there was a, you know, that King David guy, and, you know, he's crying out for a child, and that, you know, was messed up, and he messed up. By the way, he still remained a man after God's own heart, you know, but he lost a son in the process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can go absolute judgment of God, but he was actually before God with many tears and all that. And but he understood. He understood that. So I don't want to give anyone the impression like you can change God's mind and everything. Because then guess what? Let's change his mind on the end times.
No.
Yeah. And
there's plenty of things that there's some just because God foreknows something, it doesn't mean he predestines it.
Right.
So like just because God foreknows there could be a fall, it doesn't mean that had to happen. Right. Because he foreknows possibilities. Mm-hmm. So this is a key, that the future is composed of possibilities. Mm-hmm. I believe God knows every single possibility and has a contingency plan for every single one. But it's just a question of, do you believe the future is absolutely static, or do you believe it's a realm of possibilities? Yeah. And the Bible teaches that King Saul was coming down to get David. Mm-hmm. And David said, if I stay here, is Saul going to get me? 1 Samuel 23. Mm-hmm. God said, yes.
Yes, he did.
He foreknew it. But David left. And it wasn't predestined. It didn't happen. Okay. Right. So this is a key for you to understand that you actually do play a role as God's image and his ambassador in a dynamic future. And your role is absolutely essential. This goes to repentance. It goes to prayer. It goes to evangelism. Mm-hmm. It's not fatalism.
Right.
And if you believe in fatalism, it really is. I used to. For 15 years, I believed a doctrine that was incredible, you know, levels of God is not omnipotent, but omni controlling. Mm-hmm. Every detail is predestined, every molecule. But I mean, God still governs with absolute sovereignty, free beings, like free future. And he will get what Pastor Bob said. He will get what he has settled to come to pass, what he has determined. Mm-hmm. That could be the coming of Jesus. It was the cross. Remember, Jesus, he believed this too. He's like, hey, is there any other way, God, for this to happen? Mm-hmm. Nope, son, it's settled. Okay, your will be done. Mm-hmm. No, but Jesus didn't just say, well, I guess there's no reason for me to talk to God.
Right.
Oh, well, you know.
Right.
Oh, well.
It's like, that's just not how anybody in the Bible is.
Right.
And so if we want to have a biblical view, by the way, even if you believe in fatalism and determinism, you still pray the same way, as if it does make a difference. You still live. And so this is what we're teaching is actually going to strengthen you. Well, I'm teaching. I don't know if you guys agree with me on this. what I believe it like actually is, this will actually say like, I should pray because it will matter.
Right.
You know?
Right.
If you don't believe that, why would you pray?
Right. Why are we commanded to pray?
No, he's spinning his wheels. He's telling us something's true. That's not, hey, Jeremiah, if you repent, and I declared that you're going to be destroyed, but you repent, I will relent. Jeremiah 18. Is that true or not?
Absolutely. Well, I think like you were saying also, when we talk about predestination, the way I always look at that is there's a destination that God has out there someplace, and but there's a way of getting there that we are all part of in our decisions along the way. And and actually, since we have a God that's involved with our lives, like he cares about what we are, and he's been touched with our feelings of our infirmity. He gets us more than we get us, that we can actually walk through that final destination, if you will, to that destination. But there's some things along the way that may adjust the course.
Of course.
And he may have a plan he gets it because he's already there, but it's like, all right, but how long is it going to take, and how are we going to get there? Like, you know, are you going to be like a little pinball that's bouncing off everything on the way there, or are you going to actually go there? So there's a lot of that in communication with God, in prayer with God, that you try to find, what you're working out with him is what's the straight path? What's the way that what's the way that he would like me to go in this? And sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't, because we don't, not all the time do we like the straight path, the right, you know. And he's like, okay, well.
Go through the wilderness for 40 years.
Yeah, it works. For, you know, and so, I know.
No, but I having that understanding then, how do we know what we should be praying about? If we actually, maybe some of you guys, like, maybe we need to swallow this really and be like, oh, it really matters. Like, oh, I was just kind of taking it for granted that things are going to happen. It is what it is. And maybe we need to actually take a minute and say, I'm a key ambassador in the advance of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Like, what I do can actually affect God's way. Mm-hmm. You know, now is he going to be thwarted if I don't do it? Of course not. He's God, you know, but I can partner. So maybe we need to just swallow that this is part of our partnership with God.
Yes. Know? Well, the
place
question
that he's given man, right. Like you said,
right.
Do you want to say any more about that? I thought that was really important.
Yeah.
Like that man's authority on the earth.
Yeah. This is something, I don't know, that the Lord taught me, I guess, about prayer. Cause I was really didn't get prayer. Like why does he need us to partner with him in this? Like, why can't he just do things? And like, you know, just, I had all these questions, like why is he wanting us to do this? I was reading a lot of Watchman Nee actually at that time. I think that's how, like, really spiritual authority, that book, like, really helped me in a lot of ways. But understanding that the Lord gave the authority of the earth to mankind. Mm-hmm. And we know that, you know, mankind gave it away, but Jesus came as a man to redeem the authority of man in the earth. Actually, the Lord planned that and purposed it. And so human beings have authority of the earth. Mm-hmm. And can God come and just do whatever he wants? Sure. Like, the earth is his, but he also set us here as authorities in the earth. And what I love about God is that when he, unlike human beings, when he sets up a structure of authority, he doesn't undermine it. He doesn't like, well, I know I gave you authority, but actually you really don't have any say in what's happening in the earth. And I'm just going to make all the decisions anyway.
That was an illusion.
Like he's not one of those people. He's not an owner.
Yeah.
That sets someone up to steward and then is like, actually, you can't make any decisions. You have no voice. And I'm just going to micromanage everything on the earth. Like you were saying, like, that's not how he set it up. He set it up for us to be stewards of the earth.
Like a father.
And so, meaning we have responsibility and we have authority and we have the ability to steward and to release, like, that's his whole thing. Like, when you bind things on the earth, they're bound in heaven. When you loose something on the earth, it's loosed in heaven. Like, there is an authority that you have in the earth that is connected completely to heavenly places. Mm. And he gave it to us.
So awesome.
To human beings. He didn't say, ask me and maybe I'll do it. You know, it was like, you do this.
I know.
So it was like understanding, like, oh, this is actually how he set it up. For us to have authority in the earth, and he chooses to work through that, and he chooses to let us be a determining factor a lot of times for what he's going to do or not do, which is like, it is amazing. Yeah.
Well, there's so much to that, because it's like, why would he give us ability and responsibility not to exercise it?
Exactly.
Right. So in the realm of prayer and effectual prayer, it's like, why would he present that to us if it had no consequence, had nothing? Mm-hmm. It'd be like, you know, be like, here, take care of this business. I got it. You know, you're like, oh, thanks. Just like, you know,
and that's what you have to say if you don't receive all the scriptures that we mentioned.
Right.
It's nothing but an illusion, you know, and that's just not
right.
The case at all. A lot of people are bound up by that. Mm. You know, I was, you know, for a long time. Mm-hmm. We need to be encouraged. Like, God wants to rule the creation with us in partnership. And prayer is like, we don't want to just lead ourselves. We want the Holy Spirit to be leading us.
Right.
And when there's something God wants to do, he wants to use us to do it. But I believe he's going to show us that.
Yes.
I don't believe that he's like, okay, well, you're the world's yours. Like, good luck with that. No. You know, I believe he still is teaching us and he's leading us into that.
Well, I think, Pastor David, that's actually so prevalent in the Bible, actually, from the beginning of the Bible in the garden, where, you know, he's putting people there to rule, if you will, rule and
subdue.
Reign. Right. Subdue, yes. And he's partnering with them. Yeah. Like, hey, here's an animal. What do you think?
Yeah. Right. He brought the animals to him.
Yeah.
To see what they would call him.
You know, and I'm sure Adam got stuck. You know, he kept calling everything a frog or something. You know, he's like, no, that's not a frog.
Anteater. Very original.
Yes. What does it eat?
God was pretty sarcastic.
Oh, it's an anteater. Yeah.
And what's an ant? But it gets down a real bad path. Yeah. But the reality is from there to this, speaking to your, you know, the authority he's given us in the earth, all the way to the very end of the book, where you will rule and reign with him in the earth. Well, what are you ruling and reigning with? Like, and with him, and there is authority associated with it. Totally. It's not just nothing. And so,
what's a son of God? A son of God is a ruling term.
Yes.
Throughout the whole Bible. Yes. It's to rule. Mm-hmm. That's what it means to be a son or a daughter. Yeah, we won't get into that.
No, there's a lot to get into. Yeah. But I think this is very connected to prayer, because if your position in prayer is, like you said, fatalistic, like it doesn't matter because it's going to happen, or your position in prayer is like, I'm going to do whatever I want and God has to follow along. Like both of those are not going, you're not going far with that. Yeah. But the reality is if you understand there's a authority associated with partnership.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what you're entering into, like you said, a communion with him, not just in communication. Mm-hmm. You're entering into his space with him, and we are co-laboring, if you will, right together.
And that goes to some of my questions on that, because in the moment by moment when we're praying for people, or maybe it's corporate prayer, or maybe it's an individual, and God has purposes for them, how do we know what that is? How do we know what we should be praying in that moment? Should we just pray things that sound good? Or, I mean, you said something the other day when we were talking, it was good, about like the difference between God's written word and his rhema word.
Yeah.
Would you say a little bit about that? I think this is like helpful for our
this is the Greek lesson.
This is discussion.
Greek lesson. Yeah. All right, everybody.
Out of my Greek
get
lesson.
Your Greek Bibles at.
That was good. I think it speaks to this. But.
Yeah, because the Greek word for verb, the term verb, the action word, is rhema, which is, we say rhema because we don't say it right. But so it's the rhema word of God is the action of what is God doing right now. So I've heard it said, you know, the logos is the written word and the rhema is the prophetic word, like the spoken word. It's not that at all. Mm-hmm. The logos is written and can be spoken. It's the full complete expression of the word of God. But the rhema is, what is God doing right now? What is he speaking right now that speaks to what he wants to accomplish in this moment, in this space of time? And I think we were talking about this as relates to prayer, and also to healing. Like a lot of times we pray according to the logos word, which is not bad. Is not bad, right? We know that God wants to heal. Healing is the bread of the children. All of the promises that are in the logos. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think we bring that and we're like, it applies at every moment, at every time. And we're just praying the logos from our theology.
Yeah.
Versus what is God saying right now? What is the rhema word of what he wants to do right now in this moment? Mm. And I think that sometimes, because we're just praying from the logos and we haven't received the breath of the rhema right now, what he's saying right now, we get disappointed because we're praying according to theology instead of the rhema of what God is speaking and saying and doing right in this moment, which is what we have to partner with at that time. That's why the communion is important, because we're hearing, oh, what are you doing now? Like Jesus said, I only speak what I hear my Father saying.
Yeah.
That's the rhema. That is like, I mean, if we only prayed what we heard God saying, this is what I want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And we repeat that, like, that's powerful. And I only do what I see my Father doing. The communion has to come first. Mm-hmm. And then the prayers come into alignment. With that's that, awesome. Like, yes, God, I see what's happening in your kingdom. Let that happen here. I hear what you're saying. Let's release that word into the earth right now.
Well, like we were discussing, like you said the other day about some of this, with the rhema word, if you will, and in the word, in the logos word is written, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And many people think that that word is like faith comes from just reading the logos.
Right.
Which I'm granted. That does happen, yes. But in that, in those scriptures, that is rhema word. That means faith comes by actual, there's an action associated mm-hmm. with that word
yes.
that's coming out of the word. Yes. And it's a now action. So faith comes now to you, not just it came 2,000 years ago when it was written.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's really cool. I gotta look. I wanna study more on that later.
Oh yeah.
I didn't realize that was the rhema in there. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool what you're saying about the communion, because it's not just with God. It's in a corporate prayer meeting, or you're praying with other believers. You're not only listening to God, but I think we should be listening to other people and what they're praying in the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes, and we can go into this, but you know, sometimes I feel like some of our prayers are not targeted. You know, when we're praying together as a group, it's not bad, but I think a lot of people pray the logos, like you're saying, or they'll pray like, hey, this is a good thing, or hey, this is a prophecy I got in the past, or hey, this is this, or man, I really saw the news yesterday and it was really bad. We need to pray against this, when it might not be what God is doing. And we don't know until we actually enter into his throne room mm-hmm. and take direction,
right.
Sit in the back seat, maybe of the council meeting before you move to the front and start talking, right? And so I think, like, when I'm in a prayer meeting, the Lord's taught me, like, the last 2 years I've been practicing. I'm still not good at it, but, you know, it's like to actually hold on to what I want to pray and wait for the Holy Spirit and wait for what other people are praying and pray into that and, like, and actually partner up with that and agree with the Lord's purposes. And then, you know, that's just my heart, is I hope that we would move as the body of Christ to more of that, like, more of just the targeted prayer. Do you guys, like, have thoughts on that, of, like, maybe just mistakes you've seen made, or how people could pray better in a corporate setting, like according to God's will? Because I think listening is key, you know.
Yeah, I think listening is, did you want to say anything?
No, I'll wait for you.
I just have this like this visual of like mm-hmm. like you're in a mine and you're like chipping away, right? And like sometimes you're just like there's rock. You're just like, to me, okay, in my example, that's kind of like the, well, we're going to pray for the government. We're mm-hmm. going to pray for the schools. We're going to pray, you know, like there's certain things and you're like, you're chipping away mm-hmm. and then you hit like this vein of gold, right? And you're like, oh, then it's like, that's the place we need to dig mm-hmm. right now.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of what, like when you are in a corporate prayer meeting, and you're like, you're praying about things, they're good, and I believe they are effectual at a certain level, right? Because you're still like chipping away in the mind and you're widening the...
You're obeying what God told you to pray for.
Like it's good, you're praying with faith. But there are times then when you hit that vein and it's like, we all need to dig here mm-hmm. right now. And you can tell like when someone taps into that place in the whole, if you're paying attention.
If you're paying attention.
You can tell when someone taps into that place of the Holy Spirit, there's like this vein of gold, or it's like you tap into a well and it's like, this is, we need to stay with this because this is what God is doing right mm-hmm. now in this moment.
You struck oil.
Yeah.
Of the Holy Spirit. Those,
yeah. So I don't know if that like makes any sense.
That's awesome. That's a great way to say it. I think.
Yeah. And when that happens,
yeah.
if you came in with another agenda, like, or something, like it's okay to set it aside for that moment, you know, and that will be different times. Sometimes it's like, we're tapping into praying for marriages and it's like, God is doing something, like this is mm-hmm. on his heart and we need to stay with this. And we need to stay with this until we have accomplished what he wants to accomplish in this today. And the next time it may be something else, you know, it may be healing, it may be praying for leaders, you mm-hmm. know, but there are different things that we can't be so stuck in our plan that when we hit that moment and the Holy Spirit is like, yes, this is it, we have to go with him.
That's so good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, it's funny because you use the word agenda. That's the first thought that came to my mind also, is that many times in a corporate meeting, we have, we may come to that meeting with our agenda, you know, using your mine example, you know, like we're coming, like we have to go that way.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, someone hits where the pay dirt is. Right. Yeah. But my agenda was we're going that way. And so we can come to a place of prayer with that. Mm-hmm. And I would say on the converse of that, we can come away from a time of prayer in the prophetic when he's speaking back, where we only take what we wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Okay. Only, right? Our agenda again. Right. So, that fit into what I was thinking. That fit into what I was thinking.
Confirmed.
Confirmed, yes. And by the way, there's a lot of that that happens because God's, I don't know if you noticed, but God's pretty big, you know, a little bigger than us. And so, yeah, you know, and he can be in a, doing a lot of things at one time. So we can pick up the little pieces, and those are nice. They're just not what God wanted us to focus on. And I believe in a corporate meeting, this is one of the hazards of a corporate meeting where you can miss God in this process because people are not focused on where they're not willing to put their agendas down and go, what is God doing here? Mm-hmm. And to press into that place because that's when it becomes, I believe, effectual. That's
what do you
it,
think would make a person cling to that and not lay down the agenda?
Pride, thinking they know better about everything, thinking they've heard from God in their way and that's the way it's supposed to be, and unwilling to yield to somebody else hearing from God and steering something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's all of those things. It can be stubbornness, it can be all those wonderful things. Mm. But like I said, the agenda thing, the personal agenda is a real, can be a real problem in prayer because there's only certain things that you're willing to bring to him, and there's only certain things you're willing to take from him. Mm-hmm. And has to fit narrowly in that little space or doesn't work for you.
I think sometimes there's like social pressure also of like everyone comes with their prayer requests. And again, this is, I'm not knocking any of this because we have to, we should bear each other's burdens. But I think sometimes we hit that vein, the, you know, whatever it is you want to call it. And then, but it's like, oh, but we still need to cover all this other stuff. And we don't actually allow ourselves, and maybe no one takes the initiative to lead into that place of like, hey, this is, we just hit something here. We need to stay here for a while. And I believe that there's a certain level of faith that we have to step into corporately because it's like God knows all of these things that we came in with, but this is his priority right now. And we are going to trust him to take care of all of the other, the things that we carried in here. This is what he said. He showed this to us as a priority for tonight. And we have to trust him that he knows the rest and he will, there's grace for it and there's provision for it. So I think sometimes there's even like leadership, I would say, that's needed in those just to recognize and be able to give voice to.
It's good.
And give permission to spend more time in that place.
Well, I think also if you always arrive at prayer with a checklist, you're probably going to miss some things along the way. Yeah. You're going to miss God's heart. That checklist might not be evil.
Right.
It just might not be targeted.
Well, it gets you started, right? Like Liz was saying.
It can get you started. And sometimes, like I said, this is where like maybe the prophetic, like you were saying earlier, actually fits in. It's like if you have prophets among you, maybe you should ask if they've heard from God, like where we should be focused. This is where I think the connection happens. Like, okay, they've heard that, you know, God would like to hear our heart because he wants to partner with us on these subjects. It's like, oh yeah, but that's not on our list. And so now we can't go to that because it's not on our list and it doesn't matter. So there's a respect in, there has to be a respect between the offices of the church and the leadership of the church where they respect each other, you know, and where really intercessory prayer really does fall, I wouldn't say generally, under the covering of prophetic. Mm-hmm. It's in there. It's a big component of the prophetic, obviously, and it's kind of there. And so I think not to get that, you know, there are main thing, a lot of great things that are would fall under the care, if you will, of a pastor or the concern of a teacher or the hopes and of a evangelist. You hear what I'm saying? Or, you know, so they, those things can, or the assignment of an apostle, all of those things are great. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about intercessory prayer now, then like maybe you should go to, you know, where God called the intercessors from or to.
If they be prophets, let them be intercessors.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so shouldn't they be kind of connected because there is that communion that's going on?
That's right.
And how to respect that. So that's a tough one. But you know what? That takes a whole lot of humility and submitting one to another and love and fear of God. And
yeah,
that doesn't just happen easy. I can tell you that right now. That is
seems like God's kingdom rule requires a lot of humility.
You think?
Mutual submission.
Yeah. A lot more than I have.
Yeah, it's a little different than other ways of just getting your way. Well, let me ask this. What are the biggest realizations you've had as you've developed your prayer lives? Have you ever had a moment where you were really like, oh, I get it. You know, has there ever been a time like that, that you were approaching prayer one way, but then something came through and you had a different approach of things?
God, yeah. Give such hard questions.
Yes. The one that I shared about, you know, the authority, in the earth, that was a big one for me. I would say even before that, probably the one that changed my prayer life the most was realizing that wherever I'm at in my life, in my experiences, in my feelings, in my struggles and frustrations, I need to bring God into that, and he can handle it and he wants to be invited into it. So before it was like, I'm not going to pray because I'm frustrated, I'm angry about something, I'm bitter about something, I'm mad at the Lord about something. So like, I can't enter into prayer. Like I can't, you know, that's for when I feel better about him. That's for when I feel better about church. That's for when I feel better about myself. You know, that's then I'm ready for prayer. And I had to learn that whatever state I'm in, he wants to be invited in and he's willing to help me there. Even if it's my issues with him, right? Like, God, I don't understand why you're allowing this in my life.
I don't
understand this. I'm having a hard time trusting you. Like it seems like you're doing this way. Or I remember having this conversation with him of like, God, I'm so bored in my relationship with you. And I don't want to be, because I know you're not boring. So there's something that I'm missing. And it's so hard to say that to him, you know, like I'm bored. Like, you know, like what a brutal thing to say to someone in a relationship. But I learned that like I could either try to.
Especially he turns and says, "Who are you?"
I know, and I'm like, but I'm fully aware you're not the problem. I am, but I don't. I could try to figure that out on my own, and that was how I used to do it. Try to figure it out on my own, and then come like, oh, I got this sorted out now. Now I'm ready to come back in relationship with you. And he's like, "That's not how I want you to be with me." Whatever it is, we're going to be in this together. Invite me into it. And I'm willing to help you in that. So that like that changed everything, because now there was no prerequisite to prayer.
You see that in the greatest biblical intercessors, like Samuel, he's crying and grieving all night over Saul. And, you know, Jeremiah's weeping, like I said, and Elijah's telling God he wants to die.
Habakkuk is like one of my favorite books in the Bible. He's like, God, why are you allowing all this stuff to happen?
So many
like,
questions.
I love that book.
And that's in the Holy Spirit inspired that to be written, you know? So we should have that honesty. That's awesome. Yeah. You have anything, Pastor Bob, that you had realizations about prayer, you know, in your development?
The major realization I got about prayer personally in it, for me personally, is to keep it simple with God. Like that's, I can't explain now. Mm-hmm. Of course that takes, it takes different, forms with me. So like when I pray, normally it's going to be fairly quick.
Yeah.
Short, I guess. That's just how I am, because I just believe that, if I spend too much time telling God a bunch of things, then I'm telling him.
Yeah.
And whereas if I can just bring my heart and go, hey, this is what I'm getting. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I think. What do you think? Mm-hmm. You know, or let my, you know, like it says, let my petitions be made known to him. Like this is what I'm, you know, and I feel like if you can keep your prayer simple before God, then it, the answer that comes is clean and simple also. So if you set up too complicated a prayer for God, then you are going to have an expectation of a complicated answer that answers every single little item that you've, you know, presented, rather than, well, why not render it down to one thing? Mm-hmm. Like, God, this is what I'm, you know, this is what I'm sensing here. And what, you know, I want to know your heart on this. Or God, I believe I need this. What do you think? And so those are very simple And they can be done on all sorts of levels with everything. So for me, that's what's the one thing, that's the first and one thing that comes to my mind. Now, I'm not against, you know, people who make long prayers. Mm-hmm. The Bible is, say that, but I'm not. I'm okay. I can endure that with people. And sometimes I believe where people go off is when they make too long a prayer. Then their agenda gets voiced. Mm-hmm. The prayer is not really to God,
right?
It's to the group.
Yeah.
And like, who are you praying to now? And that is a big
you're preaching, thing, right? Man. You're not praying, so
you're preaching, absolutely. And so,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just
there's a hissing going on over there.
Yeah. I think there's so much. It's really just like for me, like one thing I've been realizing is it's like tuning into God, just like we've been talking about, and whether that's through the gift of tongues or whether it's through fasting, whether it's just through consistency. Like I meet with a brother in Christ every weekday and we just pray for a set time. But it's like cultivating a spirit of prayer, like a spirit of like, this is how I breathe. Like, this is how I enter into life with God. That was something I had to realize. It wasn't just like, oh, am I praying the correct thing, you know, or am I praying enough times? You know, it was like, where's my heart at here? Mm-hmm. Like, is it humble? Like, is it seeking God? Is it open to hear a response, you know, and that requires cultivating that, you know, like, and you might have to fast, you might have to pray in tongues an extended period of time. You might have to grab a friend. You might have to take steps. And if you believe this to be the counsel of God and you believe that prayer, you should pray without ceasing. If you believe that that's in the Bible and it would benefit you, there's steps that I had to learn to start building into my life so that the spirit of prayer can fill my life, you know, and that's, you know, a great teacher on this is Corey Russell. He has a lot of great stuff on prayer. There's a ton of people that have written great stuff, but really, like, you just have to do it. You just have to learn by doing and entering in.
But I think Pastor David, a big component of that, and you mentioned it in one of those things, and that is, you know, praying in tongues, mm-hmm. which now your understanding is out of the way completely. Mm-hmm. So guess what goes away with your understanding is your agenda.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Or your expectation, right? All of that is gone now. Mm-hmm. Now you're fully connected the way God designed us, connected to Him.
Yeah.
Right?
You utter mysteries in the Spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But you don't have, you know, what's your agenda? And I know, you know, our soul or, you know, will sometimes want to get in there like, I'm praying in tongues now and I know what my spirit's saying. It's like, no, you know, that's your soul telling you what you think your spirit should be saying. Yeah. And meanwhile, I sometimes wonder when we pray in tongues, if like your spirit's off on some other thing, you know, you come before God with a burden on your heart, which is real, right? It's like, I really need to pray for Pastor Liz and her, you know,
spirit. And I'm like, why did you put me in this person? Right. Please help them. Please help them. They're such a mess.
I want out.
Well, that's where your soul needs to learn something from the Logos, because, you know, the Logos says, like, if your spirit's praying, you can ask with your soul for the interpretation of that.
Yeah.
If you're willing to do that, you know, unless you just already know what it is.
Well, then you
know,
if you don't ask
again, you didn't take a minute to just ask the Lord.
Right.
Then your spirit can pray and your mind can be fruitful at the same time.
Right.
But there could be a, you know, a time where you don't understand it at all.
It's probably better that way.
I know it is for me. So.
It's probably a lot better that way. But really, seriously, I always laugh at myself in that. You know, I'm praying and, you know, I go before the Lord for something that's on my heart and I start praying in tongues and I'm like, I wonder if my spirit's like ratting me out now and, you know, he's got some other thing going. And I'm like,
finally, those other ones left and I can just talk to you. Let me just
<You're> really...
I've been waiting. Yeah. All these things I need to say.
Your spirit's like, I've been trapped in that body with that soul so long. It's like, it's brutal. I need
help.
Look at Pastor David's having a hard time with this. I can tell.
No, it's fine.
It's funny. It's okay.
The spirit.
Poor
man.
Little spirit.
The spirit man.
The innermost man. That was what Watchman Nee calls it. That guy's a stud, man. You guys should read Watchman Nee. That's so a good. That's
but
a good
you're
recommendation.
So funny because we're talking about our spirit, and that we're talking about not Holy Spirit, by the way. We're talking about our spirit that's born of God. Like, like he's got a personality, which I bet you he does.
And talking with Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is probably like, tell me about it. I'm trapped in here too. Like,
hey, sometimes I'm sorry he asked me in.
I know I said I would never leave, but
really, no, it's like, yeah, Jesus is the one that made that promise. Sheesh, I'm stuck with this.
All right. Okay. Well, we know Jesus intercedes for us and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8.
Yeah.
We need all the help we can get.
And Jesus is not stuck in your body.
No. He's on the throne. Yeah. But this is crazy, right? I mean, this is where we're talking about effective prayer. This is what makes prayer effective. The Spirit, right? God. God is what makes prayer effective. The one that answers the prayer is what makes prayer effective. Yeah. So if we can't get in line with him and in harmony with him through our spirit, well, then we're just going through the motions. We're spinning our wheels and we're preaching at people.
Right.
We're not praying, you know? And I think that's just a little rebuke to myself, you know, and to others maybe that are listening, that it's
I'm glad we were able to help.
You know, are you praying just to preach, like Pastor Bob's saying, with vain repetitions and whatnot?
Right.
Or are you actually hearing something that you're supposed to voice from God and praying into something? That's what we meant, what Liz was alluding to with, you know, tapping into that vein. You're praying into something that God's, you know, he's trying to pierce through that cloud and the spiritual darkness, right?
Well, yeah.
We didn't get a chance to go into this really. I know we're at the end of our time, but there's like the Daniel 10 is the spiritual warfare side of prayer, where Daniel prays and an angel comes after 21 days and says, God answered you the minute you started praying. It took me 21 days to get here. So again, what does that do to your theology?
Right. It's a brutal. Right.
He was opposed by these other weird princes of, you know, demonic strongholds, and Daniel prayed him through. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's what we're doing. We're praying together. We're praying for God's kingdom to break into the present age. So you have to persist in prayer. But you can give up if you want, but it's,
what about,
you know,
praying with a pure heart?
No, what is pure that spirit.
What about like? It?
Yeah.
What about it?
I wonder how many times we actually, I think when you're actually tapping into the spirit, then that's really when your heart comes along, has the possibility of coming along and actually being a pure heart, where you're not bringing your agenda, the possibilities the way you see them. And I believe that sometimes that actually happens with us. I'd like to say it happens all the time, but there are times when that I think our heart comes along with our spirit, and now at that moment it's like a pure heart. Like, we are not bringing what I think it should be. We're actually bringing what God, we're locked in with God.
Right.
And it's such a good place. And it's interesting because your spirit, I believe, has to bring your heart along to that place. I don't think your heart brings, you know, obviously your spirit along. It works one way. So that's why I love when you say, when
that's
you pray,
oneness with God. Kind of the goal of everything, right?
Maybe, huh? A little bit. Boy. Have we helped Pastor Liz?
I think she helped us. She helped me with a lot of stuff.
I'm just
going to
think about
today.
My spirit praying. Praying. This gave me a whole new visual that I'm really going to enjoy it.
Yeah. And with the Holy Spirit, yeah, right? That's Spirit. So good.
Pastor Bob, I'm going to ask you to pray us out. And you could do a brief one, like you said.
I'm going to do very brief.
But it'll be powerful.
Well, that's my agenda. Maybe I won't. Maybe this will be a long one. Then.
Whatever God, whatever God wants.
Whatever God has.
You know? So I'm going to leave that to you as mantled prophet, intercessor.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you. God, we've had some fun here today and actually some good time with you. So I just pray for everyone listening, Lord, that their religion will not hinder their prayers,
yes, Lord.
God, that we, all of us, not just people listening, but us here also, that we will be yielded to pray, Father. Father, join with you in prayer. Commune with you, God. First, Father, most important, that we just find you. So in Jesus' name, I just commit our time into your hands now. And I worship you and praise you. And we tell you that we love you, God.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.